I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How do you power through? Okay, how do you power through? I'm going to just be a little bit fiery this morning because I want to get some energy in the room because, let's face it, life is just chock-a-block full of daily difficulties that we just don't get to ignore away no matter how much we wish we could. We got to keep our cool when our toddler throws a tantrum. We got to learn to speak our spouse's foreign love language. We got to thank the mechanic for fixing our car even though it drains our account. And we got to get up early and go on a walk even if it makes us feel more achy than healthy. That one's a little personal, but it is entirely true. And there's a lot of different techniques that people use to get through all of the tough stuff. Some of us meditate. Some of us escalate. Some of us innovate, and some of us just mutter curse words under our breath as we try to headbutt the hurdles head on. But regardless of the specific strategy, our approach usually falls into one of two camps. We can try to tough it out, or we can try to figure it out. And although it is important to learn to weather a storm, it's a waste of energy if we don't seize the opportunity to study the storm. Because every obstacle that we ever face contains some lessons that can only be learned by engaging. You know, tolerating our toddlers teaches us patience. And speaking with our spouses teaches us perspective. And tipping our mechanics teaches us appreciation. And maintaining our bodies teaches us perseverance. I'm the proof. Persevering. And on and on and on the struggles go, because as the saying goes, smooth seas never made a skilled sailor. Amen? Boy, I was driving home one day when I saw that on the side of the road, and I was like, that is so profound. And I almost just went off the edge, and that was the end of me. And I was like, no, this is good for me. So, listen, since God doesn't want the deadly danger of amateur boat owners, He Himself stirs up some storms to teach us to appreciate His approach. Because overcoming obstacles is what teaches us His truth. Like Psalm says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn God's decrees. Right? That's how it happens. And so we actually hear this throughout the entire Bible. Just listen to Paul's same pursuit and how it also centers on struggle. It's just always in the tone in which he's speaking a lot of the time. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and then attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And so, I press on, right? I press on, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal. You can just hear it, right? You can just hear that He just is pushing with everything that He's got. And so just like Paul's persevering push, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We got to power through. And like we said, to not give up, there's two real ways that we can power through. One, we can brace ourselves, or we can embrace our struggles. And those are the two options that you got. But just be aware that a life of always bracing ourselves will make us weary. Right? If you just try to just flex every muscle and endure, it will eventually tire you out. While a life of embracing the struggle will make us tenacious. And tenacity is the power through muscle. And I mean that literally. You want to see it? There it is. Right there. That is the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, okay? Everybody memorize that. You'll sound really smart. The anterior mid-cingulate cortex. And it is directly related to our ability to push through the things that we specifically don't want to do. So it is no surprise that it's been shown to be larger in people who routinely engage in difficult tasks, such as highly successful athletes with intense training regimens. They have a big anterior mid-cingulate cortex. Or like when my son eats broccoli, I'm sure it's just growing huge because he is like, I do not want to do this. That's how it grows. And because it's become synonymous with tenacity, my wife and I printed one out and we put it on our front door to remind us and our whole family that we are not just called to endure hard things, but we are called to go out and chase down more challenges so we can learn the lessons that come from embracing our obstacles. Whew! And so I also printed a stack in the back so you too can remind yourself to engage adversity to grow tenacity. I dare you, grab one of those, put it on the door. We do it like, you ever see those like NFL players who like they all slap the logo on the way out to the field like, remember what we're doing. That's the idea. When you leave your house, you slap it and you go, I'm going to do things I don't want to do today. Because that's what we're supposed to do because we are Christians. And it should be clear to Christians that God's plan is more about figuring it out than toughing it out, right? It's not just blind obedience. It's like, why are we doing this? That is why our brains aren't wired to just suffer through problems. They're wired to solve them. That is who we are. That's how he made us. So we shouldn't just ask God for strength. It's a great prayer, you know, pray for strength. But we shouldn't just ask for the strength to endure. We should also ask for insight. You know, we should be praying, why is this a struggle for me? You know, what is the problem here? Why is this a struggle for me? What other ways could I attack this obstacle, Lord? Help me to see that. Or what possible purpose could this problem contain? Why am I going through it? You know, really engage it. Because asking those questions, praying those prayers, that wards off weariness. Because it engages the parts of our brain that renew perception. And then they restore our motivation. Oh, that's why I'm doing it. And then they refresh exhaustion, right? When you get that reason, you can all of a sudden, you can run a little bit further. And again, alternatively, the only other alternative that we have is relying on willpower. And relying on willpower alone only drains our brains. You can only flex for so long, and then you just have to let go. So here's the bottom line, okay? If we want our adversity to build tenacity, we shouldn't merely cuss and complain. We should listen and learn. And I have to lay it out like that because, let's be honest, a lot of us just like to cuss and complain. It's the truth. And that shift in perspective means shifting our focus to the right F words, which are frustration and failure and faith and finishing. Okay? Those are the ones that I want you to have in the back of your mind because we overcome our obstacles by understanding their purpose. And these words provide the context we need to see the reason we struggle. So we're going to go through them. So let's start with frustration. Anybody here ever been frustrated? Get your hands up, liars. You are frustrated right now. It's frustrating to live, guys. It's frustrating. And so what possible purpose, though, ask yourself this, if we're all that familiar with it, it's by design somehow. So what possible purpose does the ongoing frustration of your problem provide? Like, how is that helping? Because personally, it seems to just shorten my fuse and then rob me of hope and just make me a generally terrible person to be around. So how on earth can it help us perceive a problem's purpose if it's preventing me from being my best self? Well, actually, the Bible has an answer, and the Bible says it pretty plainly. Love this answer. Well, the whole creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, we don't want it, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Why? In hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. Okay. Now that begs this question. How does frustration free us from the bondage to decay? And that has got to be one of my all-time favorite questions. Because I ask that question on the other side of the fence, and then getting a good answer is a big part of why I am in this church today. But to answer that question, First, we have to examine the alternative. So let me ask you this. What do you call a life that is completely free from frustration? A government job. No. I don't mean that at all. There's hardworking people all over the place. But we call that comfort, right? That is comfort. Hey, comfort is great. It's totally free from frustration. And as nice as that sounds, comfort ain't our ally. It's our enemy. Because comfort just means going with the flow, right? It just means ceasing the struggle with our surroundings. It's the, hey, I'm just a leaf on the wind. I just kind of go where the world takes me. But don't you forget, that is a death sentence down here. Okay, that's a death sentence down here because in this world, everything is in bondage to decay due to entropy, right? This is the second law of thermodynamics. Remember that from like eighth grade science. Everything is falling apart and dying. Welcome to the universe. That's just how it is. So going with the flow means accepting a life of ongoing degradation that only leads to death. That's the, hey, everything's cool. Okay, great, you're just on your way to die. And there's this great quote by the biologist and longevity expert, Gary Brecka, that sums it all up really, really well. I love this line. He says, aging is the aggressive pursuit of comfort. Okay, let that sink in. Aging is the aggressive pursuit of comfort. Boy, that is true. That is so true. The less that we fight against this world's natural force, the faster we'll follow it down its dead end. Just think about everything that we got going on down here. DoorDash, right? DoorDash and Roombas and grocery store scooters may all have made things feel more manageable, but they have not added one single minute to any of our physical lives, right? They just made you a little bit more comfortable on your float to the deadly waterfall. That's all that's happening there. And that same principle is at play in our spiritual lives, okay? It's the exact same thing because the self-serving comfort that our heart wants, well, that also lets us wander away in the wrong direction from that life-sustaining love of God. We just kind of wander and we just let it fall away. So the question is, what do we do? That's just the natural state. What do we do? Well, it's simple. You already know the answer. If we don't go with the flow, well, then we gotta swim against the current. Perpetually. On and on and on. You gotta stay swimming against the current all the time. Otherwise, that waterfall is just waiting for you to quit. Which means, here's this is such an uplifting sermon. All the time, we have to spend our whole lives stuck in some level of ongoing discomfort because that is the direction of better. Okay, you have to be swimming against it, which means frustration breaks the bonds of decay because it keeps us away from the deadly comfort that is found in the path of least resistance. All right, again, I know it's hard, these are hard truths to hear, but you know it's true. You know you got to always fight. And this all, by the way, this is not just us, you know, in the high Christian theological sense. This is just, the secular world knows this. This is exactly what Daniel Coyle discovered in his book, The Talent Code. Because he went and he was studying, he's trying to figure out what makes us skilled and successful. I think I talked about this last year, great book. And he concluded that difficulty was the difference, saying struggle is a biological requirement of greatness. These are all like, well, that's true. I wish it wasn't, but it is good and it is true. Struggle is a biological requirement of greatness. So no surprise, of course, whenever we find something out in the secular world, God's like, yeah, I've been trying to tell you forever. No surprise that God already tried to tell us in his word in the good news, bad news book of Ecclesiastes, where we're told frustration is better than laughter because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, you guys, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. You know, like that's, he's trying to get us there because whether it's the wisdom of Solomon or the conclusion of Coyle, the takeaway is the same. The more that we reject comfort and embrace frustration, the more we grow. And God wants us to grow. And ultimately it makes us grow because it leads us to our next F word, which is failure. Failure. There's your daily affirmation. That's about what it feels like, right? I'm going to get it. No, whoops, we're going to die. But what possible purpose does failing serve when your problem forces you to admit your inadequacy? When you're just like, I can't do it. You just gotta, well, actually, this is great. Paul's got a really good answer for this one as well, because he writes, well, we do not want you to be uninformed about the troubles that we experienced, okay? We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. That's where we were at. But hear this, this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. Okay, there it is. You get it? Failing to overcome adversity actually helps push us through our problems, because failing forces us to let go of things that are beyond our ability. It just, you come to the end of yourself. You have to admit it at a certain point. And that humility that you're forced to learn from failure, that makes room for God's help. You ever hear of Mike Mentzer? No, because if you did, your arms would be so swole and you'd be walking around. Because that's Mike Mentzer. He is a former Mr. Universe who is famous for only working out 1.5 to 2 hours a week, while others often train 10 times as long as that. But he was, this body was created by 1.5 to 2 hours a week of working out. And you know what the secret of his success was? Failure. Failure. Don't you love to hear that? Because I'm like, I'm going to be ripped in a month. Like, I fail good. This is the truth, though. His whole plan centered on pushing his muscles to total failure, because he saw that as a sign that his human effort was fulfilled. And now nature could just do its part, right? Like, he's just like, this is everything a human can do. And so it was just always, oh, just barely. Well, I'm telling you right now, likewise, it's the same principle at play. Likewise, hitting our limits when dealing with difficulties does not mean defeat. It is simply the sign that it's time to stop relying on ourselves and start depending on God. Because right there, that's when you can finally allow His strength to enhance ours. We make the room. I can't lift it anymore. He goes, I got it, right? That's what you have to do. That's what failure is good for. Otherwise, you're that kid who's like, no, I know how to do it. No, it's embarrassing. You don't know how to do it, kid. That's us all the time. Which is why I want you to hear this, because this is another, man, I wonder if you guys are going to lynch me after this. This is why Christianity is an inherently impossible proposition by design. Okay, it is made to be something that you are going to fail at, because we are called to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Anybody done that yet? No, not even my children? You sure? You sure think it a lot. But yeah, none of us have, because none of us can, right? Good luck being perfect. This is not going to happen. And yet, what are we told? We're told perfect must be our aim. That's what we are trying to attain the entire time, even though we know we'll fail at it, because we don't grow by avoiding failure, but by reaching it, right? When we get that failure, because God's strength replaces ours right at the breaking point, not before. If you're still relying on your strength, He's going to keep saying, it looks like you got it. You let me know. You let me know and I'll step in. Failing is good. Because frequent failing means faster success, because it leads us to our third F word, which is faith. Because you see, reaching the end of our abilities actually releases us from worry, because we can rest in the knowledge that we did all that we could do, and now it's up to God. That's a good feeling. That is a good feeling. And that trust right there, coming to the end of yourself and saying, that's good. That's good. This is all I can do. God's got it from here. That trust right there is the basis of faith. As the basis of faith, this is why we're told, therefore, says Paul, you know, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. I'll give it all the room that it needs. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. In insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because our deficiency is God's opportunity. That's where you just made room for him to step in, because frustration and failure become part of a very positive process when they lead us to trust that coming to the end of our ability means making way for God to show us a new way that he wants to grow us. And that's tough because you probably don't know it. You're like, I don't know why we're doing this. Why am I failing? Why is this thing so hard? But faith is the confidence in what we hope for. And it's assurance about what we do not see. Okay? You don't get to see it yet. You just have to trust it. And when we encounter our obstacles, the hardest things to see are the ultimate outcomes. Right? We'll often say, what are we doing this for? Like, how could this possibly be producing something good? This is just terrible. Well, that's because you can't see the outcome, right? Faith is having the assurance of the stuff that you can't see, but you got to trust that it's there. And when we embrace adversity by trusting God to produce more than just our frustrating failures, well, that's when we learn to see by faith. Right? That's where you can start to see the things that you just couldn't. You can have the assurance of the stuff that's in the future there. And the more we understand the process, the more we start to trust God's intentions over our emotions. And to do this, he built this into our lives. It is part of how the world works. Just think about this, okay? Because you know these things, but really just meditate on this for a second. Exercising, for instance. Exercising will make you feel weak. Well, it's actually making you strong. Okay? Learning will make you feel stupid while it is actually making you smart. Saving will make you feel poor because I don't get to spend that money while it's actually making you rich. And with the tough stuff, confronting will make you feel scared while it is actually making you brave. Because you see, the disciplines that deal with our difficulties, the stuff that we got to do like that, they're meant to teach us to trust that when our own efforts make us feel weak and stupid and poor and scared, God is actually making us strong and smart and rich and brave. You just can't see it. Which is why the faith that puts purpose into our frustration and failure rests on the fourth F word, which is finishing. Oh, this is the one, right? This is the brass ring. This is it. Because finishing is it's the future of our faith. And the future of our faith is what enables us to power through all of our present day problems. So let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set right before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for the things that he could see in that finish. So consider him who endured such hostility, right? And how he handled it, lest you become weary, because he didn't. So you get it? Jesus fended off weariness by fixing his eyes on finishing his engagement of his adversity, which was sin, right? He came to defeat sin. And he knew it was going to take the cross, so he looked at it the entire time he was there. And he said, I fixed my eyes on that, and he just marched forward. And he didn't just tough it out. He figured out that temporary troubles produce eternal glory. That's what every whiplash, every difficult part of his life, he knew that it was just because in the future it was producing that eternal glory. That's how we got to see. And so because of him now, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we too can focus on that finishing because we can clearly see the end of our faith through his life, right? We're called to be like him and to endure like him because now we can see how it actually works. And here's how it works. Our light and momentary troubles, well, they're allowed by a loving God because they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Right? Like it is so much bigger than these little painful things, these little failures and frustrations, because we know that our faith has a finish. And so when you have that, because you're here because you know that, right? You're here because you know that to some degree. So what is the problem? Right? I'm just telling you the basic stuff here. So the question is, if we know this, if we know that the tough stuff is just the price that we pay for perfection, why can't we simply stick it out? Well, we're weak. We're humans. Here's why. Temporary doesn't feel temporary. Right? As much as we like to put it into context and say, we're only here on earth for a while, life is the longest experience that any human will ever have. It's the longest thing you can imagine. It begins when you're born and it ends when you die. You're like, that was literally the longest thing that I can experience. And adversity is only good if it has an end. Otherwise, it's literally hell. So as this frustration just seems to keep going with us the entire time we're alive, we start to go, this feels a little bit like hell. It is just continual difficulty. But that means that the best way to power through our problems is to see through our problems. Right? If we're stuck, if this is the biggest thing that we see, we got to see past it. We all got to practice looking past the frustration and failure of each obstacle to find the purpose that they serve when we faithfully finish that fight. Because that right there, that is when you really realize that your mess is just the beginning of God's message. Amen? I want a good amen because I was really proud of that one. Your mess is just the beginning of God's message. He's trying to tell you something. And if we can learn to simply let him finish his message, we will all see that in the end, he has always only ever got good news. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's pray about that. Father God, we love you. And we appreciate you for stirring up our seas so that we could build a better faith from our frustration. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to endure those adversities by growing our tenacity as we learn to swim against the false comfort of this world down here. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for looking past the pain of our earthly obstacles to prove to us that focusing on your love provides the perspective that we need to power through any problem at all. And to that we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.